This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 10. So there it was. He was mad. He had been convinced that something evil lay at Tom Corvin's core, and with Catriona's words he should have been comforted. If it had been a simple matter of his non-stained hand, he could have assumed that the rain had washed him clean. But there was more. Initially relieved, Tom was puzzled when Catriona explained that she meant what she said about him being free from injury. According to the girl, his ankle and shoulder were as spotless as his hand, and so his descent into madness continued. If he could not rely on the recall of his journey to the cottage, how could he give credence to the fantasy of his dreams? Yes, Catriona's words should have brought him comfort, but they did not. How could he explain himself? Why was he obsessed with his hand? Why did he wipe it and wipe it and wipe it? Whoever the old Tom was, the new one, the one sitting with Catriona in a remote cottage in Scotland, the one trying to make sense of himself, this Tom, did not like lying. But the alternative was so awful. Too messy to try to explain. Too complicated. Too shameful. Soon he'd be out of Catriona's life. For now, he would settle for the simplicity of selective truth. "I used a dead animal to keep warm," he told her. "I felt dirty." "And I thought you might have been raised on a maggot farm," the girl quipped. They kept their voices low, Catriona concerned for her uncle next door. Tom shivered. "I'll go for help tomorrow," he said, determined to change the subject. She gestured to the window. "I doubt it. This could last for days." "Great." Tom looked disappointed, but really warmed to the thought of Catriona's company and stealing time to rebuild his sanity. "Tell me, I know we're in Craigan Cottage, but where exactly is that?" "I take it you know we're on planet Earth," she smiled. "Let's start from there." "What country?"
"Scotland."
As soon as she said it, Tom knew that it was right. The feeling was akin to the recognition of his name. And now he knew it felt as though he'd always known, although the sense was almost certainly an illusion. "Close to Lochranza," he offered.
"Right.
Arran, southwest of Glasgow." There it was again. Recognition without triggering anything new. She continued.
"You have a Scottish accent."
"I do." This was a revelation. He could hear Catriona's accent and that of her uncle's. But when he listened to his own voice, to his ear, there was no hint of a dialect. They talked for over 2 hours. What they talked about was difficult to say because he could tell her nothing about his life, and she danced around her own with determined evasiveness. Instead, she spoke of her love for the island, how she and her parents used to come here when she was little, and how her father had taken her on his shoulders to the summit of Goat Fell when she was only 4.
"My mother was furious when she found out. We were supposed to be walking around Brodick Castle. Later on, an easy stroll up the path a little. But apparently I pointed to the top and said, 'Daddy, go up there.'"
Those dark, drowning pool eyes held him as she told the story. She seemed to remember something sad and fell to silence for a few seconds before suddenly brightening again.
"Tea," she said.
Tom jumped to his feet to beat her to it, but she did the same and they both overbalanced and collapsed back onto their seats. "Tea," they chorused.
"Stay where you are. You need to rest."
The general was back. Tom accepted defeat and Catriona drifted to the kitchen to boil the kettle. Unable to settle, he got up, put another log on the fire and wandered the room. There was no electricity in the cottage, the moody light of the fire bolstered by a small gas lamp that hissed constantly in the background. There were paintings on the wall, old and faded, all showing various scenes on the island and all, he guessed, impersonal to the occupants. They were stained, a yellowing state of decay. The more he looked, the curiouser he became. He'd thought Catriona lived here at first, and then doubted that as he took in its remote situation and the dampness pervading the building. Now he realised that it was more fundamental than that. If this was a retreat, then he would have expected to see some personal artefacts, photographs, paintings, and even some of the comforts of home. Craigan Cottage was more like a seldom visited museum, full of the history of dead people. Even if they'd just rented it, he would have assumed the same attention to detail from its owner. He moved to a window and cupped his hand over the glass to exclude the reflection from the room. He was at the back of the house but could see nothing but wet tears weeping across the pane. Returning to the fire, Tom noted that the second log had not caught. He removed the fireguard to attend to it, but as he bent his head to the vent, a sudden downdraft swept the chimney, carrying with it a choking fog of smoke and ashes that blackened the boy in dust and fumes. He reeled back, gasping in fright, and felt Catriona's hand on his shoulder.
"Careful!"
Spluttering and wiping tears from his eyes, he spun to the girl, explaining,
"It's the storm, it blew..."
But he was quite alone. There was no Catriona, no one chiding his carelessness. He whispered in sudden fear, invisible cockroaches crawling over the back of his neck.
"Hello? Hello?"
Tom could see he was alone, but that made no sense.
"Who's there?"
Something small scurried behind the skirting boards. A fly, suddenly noisy, buzzed the dead air. The lamp hissed. Outside, the elements battled and a gentle chink of china drifted from the kitchen, accompanied by the stifled agony of Catriona's uncle, dead to the world in the next room.
DreamWorks.com.